All right, so this new year, a little bit of a challenge for you as we start. You know, our theme is expecting transformation. And as I look out, I don't know what kind of changes you've experienced in your life this past year, good or bad, whatever they might be. But our God says that he wants to transform us and make us new. And he wants to create a new thing in us. We went through Philippians not that long ago in the fall, and we looked at that passage. It says he's doing a work that he's going to complete in us. He'll carry it on to completion until the day when Christ Jesus comes back, till Jesus returns. It's a work that is constantly, constantly happening. Thanks, son. And so I want to challenge you regarding that. When we talk about transformation, just before we go to prayer, when we talk about transformation, some of us just want to wait for it to happen. We're wondering, God, why aren't you transforming me? Why aren't you making me new? Why can't you make me into something awesome? Why can't I experience your fullness? Can you just do that? Can you just do that? And then we just carry on. Because we know it's true, he'll do it. But we just carry on. And we keep trudging along. And we make our choices in other things. We kind of put God on the shelf again. And we go on and we do what we're supposed to. We fulfill our obligations, right? We do our work. We finish our course. We study for our exam. We go out with our friends. We go watch Bumblebee in the movie and learn about transformation. But there's something more to transformation that I want to share with you that I'm hoping will help you. Because it helps me. And it's from God's Word. So as we go and look at God's Word, I'm hoping that it will show you that there's something you can do, something we can do, as we expect transformation. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you so much for your Word. God, you've given us your Word so that we can discover how to live. You have set us free. You do all the work. And yet you give us your Word to give us advice, to give us helpful hints, to give us commands, to give us clarity as to how to walk in order to receive your Spirit, in order to walk in your strength and in your power, not in our power. Thank you for Paul and his message that he has in Philippians and throughout the Bible in different letters that he's written. And I want to ask that you would speak now through his Word, through your Word, that you would use me in whatever way you could. Use my words, use my eyes and my ears and my breath. God, use me to be able to express the beauty of who you are so that we might walk away transformed, made new because of what you do, the work that you are doing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, I'm going to look at Philippians, and as Rachel read for me, thank you, Rachel, from Philippians, and chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Sorry, not 7 to 10, but 7 to 14. It talks about pressing on towards something, trying to reach out to something. Now, this is not unusual for Paul to talk like this, because he did in Corinthians. He talked in a letter that he was sent to the Corinthians, and he talked about training as an athlete. I don't know if any of you have been involved in athletics, but I have a little bit. I wouldn't call myself an awesome athlete, but certainly I've been involved in athletics, and in order to get better at athletics, you have to train. You have to discover how to get yourself put in a situation where you can improve in the skill that you want to improve in. And so you have to actually do something, right? You actually have to practice. And so that's what Paul was trying to say. In order for the people to want to run a race and to win it, they have to practice to do it. There's a lot of hard training that's involved. And in the training, they discover that they can improve their abilities and hopefully reach out and grab the prize. And so he talks to the Corinthians about run as if you can get that prize. Go and get it. But then he also said that, training is good for your body and for athletics, but it's not quite as important as training for godliness. So there's the assumption that you also have to train for godliness. There's something that we actually have to do, we need to do. He talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, where he talks about the same idea, where you have to be in training, Timothy. You have to be in training. It's true that he did say to Timothy, if you know Timothy at all, he said Timothy was a young guy. He said, don't be afraid of being young. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let people say just because you're young, you can't do it. So we know that that was an important thing. But he said, now, Timothy, train. And my title is, Don't Try, Train. And the idea there is stop trying. Stop just trying to do everything by yourself. But don't stop doing. We got to train. There is a difference. Trying, it's all, I think, in the attitude. If we're trying really hard, we're just trying, thinking that we can do it. We can do it. If we can just get myself tuned up physically for a physical thing, or if I can just get myself tuned up for a spiritual thing, if somehow I can manipulate things to make it work for me, then I'll be able to obtain what God has promised me. But in fact, that's not the way. The way we need to do it is by being training ourselves in godliness. Now, let's read through Philippians again, and I'm just going to... I really enjoy this because not long ago we talked about Paul, and my thoughts just go back to Paul's life. Now, if you don't know Paul's life, I'll just share a little bit about it. Not too much, just a little bit. But we do know, for those of you who know about Paul, that he started very antagonistic towards Jesus to the extent that he was chasing down people who believed in Jesus in order to imprison them, and in fact, in some cases, even put them to death. The stoning of Stephen is one of those incidents. So this was kind of Paul's life. But then Jesus stopped him up short one time when he was on his way to do this very thing, to chase down Christians. And he stopped him up short in a very dramatic way by putting a bright light before him where he was faced with something different and he recognized it. He had a moment where he was changed. And as a result, he turned. It took a bit of a process, and it continued to take a process where he had to train himself. And along the way, as he was training himself, Jesus transformed him. So it wasn't his actual training that transformed him. It was the Holy Spirit working in his life that transformed him. Philippians 3, verse 7 says, "But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake." I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. All this other stuff. I consider it garbage so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my training that I'm doing for my sake, Let me start that again. Oh my goodness, Happy New Year, Rob. If you could follow that, could you tell me what I just said? All right. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. There we go. See how hard it is sometimes when we try so hard on our own? We just got to let God help us there. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. That song was so awesome. I want to see him. I want to touch him. Paul had this desire, because of his transformation, to just reach out and find Christ. And so he did it actively. He went out actively and trained himself. He said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings even. He wanted to go through whatever Christ was going through, becoming like him in his death even. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Now, and then verse 12 says, now that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, not that I have done this, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Okay, let's hang on to that. One thing I do. If we can do anything this morning, let's just grab onto what Paul said. The one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. You see, we got to press on. I know you kind of just wanted to rest in Christ, right? I know we wanted to just go into that quiet place, be at peace, and experience his transformation. And that maybe is part of the pressing on. Don't get me wrong here. That can be part of the pressing on. What we're going to do in the next little bit is we're going to talk about some disciplines that we can put into practice in our lives. And as we put these disciplines into practice, it's not that we're trying to religiously bring ourselves to a point of where God can transform us. No, that's not it at all. When we decide to be involved in a discipline, whatever it might be, the reason we decide to do that is because we simply want to draw closer to Christ and receive His work in our lives. Interesting, right? Because as we go into a discipline, we're actually, I don't know when you choose a discipline. Let's say you chose to fast, or let's say you chose that you're going to pray a certain amount of times this next month. Maybe you're going to set aside lunchtime, fast and pray. Maybe you're going to do that. You can say at lunchtime this month, I'm going to take some time to fast and pray. Now that's doable, right? Or for some of us, it's not so doable. I struggle a little bit with that, but that sounds doable. But there are some disciplines that as we go into it, we decide we're going to do this for Christ, and in fact, we can't do it. But as we set ourselves to do the discipline, we find that Christ transforms us and gives us the ability to do it. You see, we don't do things because we're obligated to do it. We do things because we long to do it. There's a difference there, right? We long to be transformed. And as a result, we're going to train. We're going to put ourselves in a position where we can become the type of soil that we can be transformed. I don't know if you've read Matthew, but there's a passage, a parable there where it talks about different soils, where you see the seed being thrown on different soils. And some of it's not great soil and it doesn't grow at all. Others, it's kind of good and it gets choked out. And so there's a variety of soils there, and some of it's good soil and it grows up and it's healthy and it produces fruit. But that doesn't just happen, this kind of soils. And those soil represents people, right? We're all people. Well, we have to till the soil, right? We have to get involved. Just like Paul was doing, he was pressing on, pressing forward, wanting to reach for the goal. And in order to do that, we have to prepare ourselves. So let's look at what we can do to allow Christ to work in our hearts, to make us new, to transform us. Okay, so Bumblebee movie. That was kind of interesting. Did anybody see the Bumblebee movie? Spoiler alert, I did. And yeah, I know, here it comes. Oh, now you're not going to be able to see it. David and I went to the movie. Where's David? He's gone. Okay, we had our 2-for-1 from Costco, right? Y'all got the 2-for-1s, and we went into the movie and got our popcorn, Diet Coke, and root beer. And we sat down ready to watch the movie. Just made it, right? Just in time. Didn't have to sit through all the preamble and all that kind of stuff. Movie starts. Okay, so here's the movie. I'm not going to give you all of it because maybe you want to see it, but there's a girl named Charlie. And Charlie is your typical teenager who's struggling with life and not doing well. And as a matter of fact, it's affected her whole life to the point where she just can't handle it. She's in bed. She's like having trouble with her mom, having trouble with everything. And all of a sudden, something happens. Someone gives her a gift. And the gift is the bumblebee. It's the bug. She gets a bug. And long story short, that bug becomes the thing that somehow wakes her up. It transforms her in a sense. You see, it's funny, right? Because the bug is what it's all about, transformation, right? When you look at the movie, it's about the Transformers, this bug turning into a big robot and becoming, you know, anything that can destroy anything. Yeehaw. So it's pretty awesome. He saves the day, of course. But the big story of it all is not about this robot. It's actually about this little girl who gets transformed and made new. And it changes her life so much that she does things that she would never do before because she's excited about what this robot has done for her. And now I'm wondering, what has God done for us that has transformed us? If you're not a Christian and you haven't been in a relationship with Him and you haven't been at that point before, let's, as Christians, think about it at least and think about what we've been through. How has God changed our life? And has it made us new? Has it made us excited about Him? And has it changed us to the point where we're ready to go out and train? And excitement, enthusiasm is interesting in the movie because this girl, Charlie, went out. Not only was she going out to do things, but it turned out this guy who followed her, he ended up coming out and doing things. So it affected him as well. Guess what? When Jesus makes us new, others see it and they do it too. They follow. They want to find that because the Holy Spirit works in them. In Paul's life, he was transformed in this miraculous, dramatic way. And as a result, he wanted to follow Jesus no matter what. As he writes this epistle, this letter, to the people in Philippi, he's writing it from jail. And yet he's saying, the one thing I want to do beyond all, beyond anything I could do, is to be closer to God. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. God has called each of us towards a prize. And we can't just sit down. We have to get moving. We need to be in motion. As I said to many people, it's It's along the way that God meets us as we go. Paul discovered that. He went through a lot of things in his journey, and we can discover that as well. And we need to look, kind of chum up the people around us and to see how God has changed their lives along the way as well. It's always along the way. We need to get going. We need to move. I mean, just look at the very end of the Gospels. He said, go and make disciples. It wasn't about sitting around and not doing anything. It's about going and making disciples. We're called to go and make disciples. I stole that little quote, don't just try, but train, from a guy named Dallas Willard, and he's passed away now, but his quote was to sort of grab people's attention, because we're all trying hard for one thing or another. But the beauty of faith is that it's not about our strength, but it's about God's strength. It's about what he can do and how he can change us. So this morning and this new year, as we kick off our expecting transformation, let's consider what we can do to change our lifestyle, to make our soil sort of prepared to receive what Christ wants to do in our lives. Let's see what that takes. I don't know if you know, but when we're preparing for a message and we're looking at the passage, and either Pastor Kyle or myself, as we're getting ready, there's always in these moments points of transformation where God changes us and he challenges us with the very words that we're trying to formulate and put together. And painstakingly, often there are transformations that happen that help us understand what it might mean to be transformed or what it might feel like to be transformed. It appears that even in those very darkest moments, if we're able to be in training, we'll be prepared even in those darkest moments to follow through and to discover a God that's in transformation in our life. I don't know if you caught what I just said there, but let me go at it another time. When we're going through things in our life that are not so easy, and I think kind of get in our face to the point where we can't see around it, and we're a little bit maybe even overwhelmed by it, if we've been in training, we'll discover that we might be able to still hear the voice of God and even have a completely different perspective on what's happening in our lives and in the people around us. And we'll get a glimpse of transformation. Because I'm telling you right now, this battle is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And so as we deal with the nitty-gritties of life in our own family, in our own friendships, in our own relationships, Satan wants to lie to us and blind us and not allow us to see that he is at work. That God is at work, not Satan. That God is at work. Of course, Satan's at work too. He wants us not to see or believe that. But let me tell you, the work of transformation is constantly happening. The promise was there in Philippians, that I will carry this work to completion. God is working. So if we train, we will be better able to recognize the voice and the presence of God as we go through dark moments, whatever they might be. I mean, you look at it with military training. They become kind of almost robotic. And yeah, we know that there are struggles that come with guys who have been involved in military and how it's affected them. But when they train and they learn how to do what they have to do, they're able to somehow just go through the motions and do that. Well, this is way bigger than that. This is something where you're tapping into the greatest power ever, the king who is on the throne, whose kingdom, who reigns. I don't know why. I wish I knew why. I don't know why Satan has so much power over us sometimes, why we've yielded to him and allowed him to overcome and to allow us to walk in his lies. But it's time to train. It's time to pull back to what God has called us and who he's called us to be. Let's look for some disciplines that would help bring us in line with who Christ is and what he wants to do in our lives. And I promise you, you will see transformation. And it will be unexpected. Please, let's not get lazy in our faith. Because this does not negate the fact that Christ is a gracious God and does the work on behalf of us. In the discipline, in our training, we experience God's grace. It's not that we're overriding it and saying, I have to do it because God isn't. That's not it at all. Paul trained because in that training, he experienced the grace of God that transformed him and allowed him to share that with people around him. Now, it's interesting, in this passage it says, putting behind the things that were before, right? Not being held back by the things that are around us. And that's part of why we struggle. We don't have the training, so we struggle with all the things that are kind of hanging on to us. It's almost like we're weighed down by stuff. We're still looking behind all the time. To the extent that as we look behind, we tend to turn. And we end up going the wrong way again. Now, don't get the wrong idea. It's not saying it's bad to look behind. It's saying it's bad to look behind to those things that pull us back and away from pressing towards the goal. So we got to train ourselves to keep moving forward, because there are some really good things that we can look back on. And this year, there's some really good things we can look back on and say, this is what God did. And as a result, now I can go this much farther. That's pressing forward as we look backward. But there's some backwards and things that we do that they're actually pulling us back. And you know what they are. If you're experiencing situations where you're angry at people, you're not trusting people, you're overwhelmed, you can't handle what's coming around the corner the next time it comes, then that is not, by the way, not from God. It's not from God. And so let's put it behind us. And actually, you know how Paul said, you need to do it? It's part of your training. You need to do it. Put it behind you. And as you do it, you'll experience the work of the Holy Spirit. He will do it for you. The grace will be there. God will take it for you. And then it's a learning process, right? Training is not easy. We keep training. We keep moving forward. We keep moving forward. Paul says, I press for the goal. I've heard people, we have a prayer group on Fridays, and I've heard it said many times, I just long to be closer to Jesus. I long to be closer to Jesus. I want to meet Jesus. I've heard other prayer warriors in our church say, I just want to hear his voice. God, speak to me. God, direct me. God, lead me. God, show me what to do. This should not be exceptional. This should be normative. So let's train. Okay, as we go through these weeks coming up and as we look at different disciplines, you need to figure out where God is leading you. It's not religious. It's not about work. It's not about deciding to do it because I have to. No. It's training because you know it's what you want to do. Do you want to draw closer to God? Well, then train. I want to grow closer to God, and I admit, I'm not training enough. I want to train because I want to experience that change. And then I want to walk out with that change, and I want to see God move in other people's lives, right? I want to see that happen. We can do it in this community, this church right here, as we come to worship together. We can train, and we are doing that. Let's keep doing that. We can do that in a community around us as we go out. It's about going. I'm just reading a book now about how God transforms us in the moments that we are going, right? You ever had that happen where you're going out and doing something? It takes you out of your normal place, and you get into a situation where you're out of your routine. You're in a unique spot. You're doing something you don't usually do. And all of a sudden, boom, God breaks in. And you think, wow, there's something else here. Well, see, that's God. He wants to transform us. But after that happens, we need to get into training. Let's get into training so we can allow God to continue to do that. So why did that happen? What do I have to do to continue that? Whatever. Let's figure out what disciplines we have to follow with. And we're going to go through a few in the coming year. And as we go through it, let God lead you to what you need to do. And some of you are doing it now. So share it with others. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them how it's working for you or how it isn't working for you. Tell them what the training's like. It can be really up and down, can't it? It can be very challenging. But as you train, I know that the Holy Spirit will continue to confirm in you his who you are and who he is in you, and he will show himself at work. And that's what we want to see. We don't want to get stuck just doing our own things. We don't get stuck on our own agendas. We don't get stuck just doing church. Please don't just do that. Let's find something more than that. And if you're wondering, oh, I'm not getting enough of God. I do this Bible study, I do this reading, I do this prayer, I do this. Let me just add another one. Let me just add this, another thing, and another thing. Well, don't do that. Let's train for God. Let's figure out what it takes. Ask him what it is going to be for you to interact with him. You heard the saying, if you keep doing what you always did, you get what you always got. Well, break it. Break the mold. Start something new. Start tilling the soil. Put yourself out there. Maybe it's something in this community you need to start getting involved in. As you go out and do it, you've got to open your eyes. You open your eyes to something different. And I don't know what it's going to be. And maybe you're trudging along thinking, I just have to keep doing what I'm doing because that's just what I have to do. Or you don't. You do not. We serve a king of great creativity. So like Paul, let's train. All right? And this is biblical. This is from God's word. It's a word from God to us. As we go into this new year, let's train. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Paul talks about it several times in the scriptures, but Jesus, you made it so clear. As you sent your guys out and your ladies out, you sent them out to do things for you. And in the process, through the training, they became new. Even to the point when they were confronted and saying, why are you following this guy? Well, we have nothing else to do. We have nowhere else to go. We have given completely all we have to Christ. I want to know you more, Lord. I want to know you more. Father, I pray that as we step out and as we train for your glory, for who you are, as we reach out to grab onto you, that we'd experience transformation. We'd experience newness in our lives. We'd experience life. And that life might splash out all over the people around us to experience your grace as well. Thank you for your patience with us, God, and your love for us. We give ourselves to you for this goal. In Jesus' name, amen.